Right, we at Staggering Stories have an announcement, and we need your help. Unfortunately, the south of England last night was completely flooded. We're under 47 feet of water. Mm-hmm. While most of us battened down the hatches and stayed where we were, Jean went out for a walk and has floated away. We think she's currently in the Grand Union Canal heading up through Aylesbury, but there have been sightings of her heading off of the Cornish coast. So if you should find an ageing Cockney bint floating in your general area, could you please return her to P.O. Box 4, Crawley? Thank you.
Postage will be, of course, refunded. Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I, yes, I am...
You're my huggy, squeezy toy in glasses.
I know, thank you.
That's all right. I'm being nice to you because you're getting old.
Oh,
and I love you too.
That's all right. I just worry that I'm running out of times to be able to tell you I love you, so, you know.
Oh, dear.
You're going to be 60.
He's only 2 months younger than I am.
Yes, you'll be dead soon as well.
Oh, I know. If I'm not dead already.
Just a minute. Come here. No, you seem quite warm.
Now, knowing him, he'll find a way to fit us with animatronics.
Yeah, are you? How's idea. That coming on, by the way?
Getting there, getting there. A little simple computer for a brain.
Yeah, but are the actual implants sort of rectum-sized yet? Or...
I don't understand.
You'll
and
be
where's
dead.
The tea?
You'll be dead.
It's easier to insert them.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, without further ado, missing Cockney podcast presenters besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woo!
Orphan Black Echoes.
Cancelled.
AMC's Orphan Black sequel TV series Echoes has been axed after just a single season. Set in the year 2052, 37 years after the original series, it featured Keely Hawes as the daughter of the protagonist from the original Orphan Black series and Kristen Ritter as a mysterious amnesiac. This is very much a case of another series that didn't see immediate success, so will not get a chance to find its audience with a second season. If you wish to view the 10 episodes that were made, then they can be found on ITVX in the UK, AMC Plus in the US and Canada, and on Stan in Australia. This is so annoying.
I know.
And I haven't even seen that yet, but I would have liked to have seen it.
And left on a cliffhanger.
As always. It's asking for trouble.
I know.
We at the moment are watching Only Murders in the Building and Agatha All Along on Disney.
Oh, right. Yes.
And they're introduced an episode a week.
Yeah.
So no need to binge watch them for fear of them being cancelled. And that's the way it should be.
Well, yes. I'm doing similar with Frasier's back on Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. They put first two up the first week. There's still another eight to go, I think. Yeah. 10 in total. And Slow Horses on Apple TV is one a week from the off.
Like I say, I may be old-fashioned, and I know the latest in current phase is to binge watch, but I like sitting back occasionally and trying to figure out what's going on. You know, try to do my own little plot threads and try to figure out the plot of the story rather than just being spoon-fed it all the time.
It works better for the things you're watching than, say, Frasier, which doesn't really have much of an ongoing arc. But
it's so frustrating, though, that so many things that have the potential to be excellent, like the Dead Boy Detectives and Lockwood and Co.
Well, it was 1899, that one on the boat. That was
I know.
And that, boom, stop.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Netflix is definitely suffering from Fox disease.
Not just them, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately it's not. Disney seems to be the only one doing it properly.
Well, you say that, they did can The Acolyte soon after it finished airing.
Now, I haven't seen that yet, but I
have heard
from a very good source that it was bollocks.
It wasn't their best series.
It
had a lot of potential.
Yeah, wasn't the best. Like we've said in the past, some shows need two or three seasons to get things into position.
Yeah. And then they go...
It takes time for the writers to understand the characters and the actors, and the actor to time to understand the characters.
You've got to build the world.
Yeah.
Clarify, though, my source didn't actually use the word bollocks because he wouldn't, but he did go... when asked how it was, which is as close to bollocks as you're going to get with him.
Right. Blimey.
Time Bandits!
Cancelled! Yeah.
Meanwhile, a company worth more than 96% of the countries of the world's GDP, Apple, has pulled the plug on their Time Bandit streaming series.
Ooh.
Again, the two-part first season is all we'll now get of Taika Waititi's take on Terry Gilliam's 1981 film with the same name. In this case, it was mere weeks after the 10th and now final episode went out before the chop was officially announced, allowing for very little time for people to find it on Apple TV. We don't get Apple, so we didn't
I'd have liked to have seen it, though, because the trailer amused me.
Yeah. I have heard
the original movie.
I have heard mixed reviews about this. Very mixed in the fact that it was maybe too much of a departure from the original film.
Okay.
But I would have liked to have seen it to judge. Yeah.
Another one on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So I have got Apple TV. Do I bother watch it? If it's going to end on a cliffhanger,
it might be
resolved.
Yeah. So that's the reason why we didn't finish 1899. We got in three episodes in and found it was cancelled.
Any series that ends on a cliffhanger is going to get slap legs from now on because that's just asking to be cancelled.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, with 1899, it ended on a very strange cliffhanger. David Graham.
Dead.
Actor David Michael Graham has peppered his last pig as aged an impressive 99.
That's a damn very good innings.
Mostly known for his voice work, Graham is best remembered for providing the much imitated voice of Aloysius Parker from Thunderbirds.
Yes, my lady.
Grandpa Pig in Peppa Pig, and originated the voices of Doctor Who's Daleks alongside Peter Hawkins. Graham provided voices for the first four Dalek stories, including recently adding new Dalek dialogue for the colourised version of The Daleks. Both Peter Cushing Dalek films had featured his iconic voice work on the Skarosians.
I didn't know he did them for the film.
Yes.
I did not know that.
He also appeared in front of the cameras for Doctor Who as Charlie the Bartender in The Gunfighters and over a decade later as Kerensky in City of Death. In the world of Gerry Anderson, he played far more than Parker, also giving us Grandpa Twink, Mitch the Monkey, Gordon Tracy, Brains and many others. He was still playing Parker and others in the recent Thunderbirds Argo hybrid model CGI TV series. For those of a more twisted disposition... He also provided the voice of Snork in the 1990 Moomin series.
I love the way he was working till the end.
That's like, you know, old age,
what's that?
Yeah.
I do remember him being on the colourised version of the Daleks.
Yeah. He had a stroke a year or two ago.
Oh, no.
Effectively, he retired from Parker at that point.
Yeah.
But he still came back to the Daleks after that, I think. So he hadn't entirely retired.
So 99, that's pretty cool.
That's a very good innings, that is.
Love to his family and friends.
Indubitably.
Any addendums, then?
I have an addendum.
You have an addendum?
I have an addendum.
Tell us your addendum.
We've enjoyed Ghosts UK.
We have?
Yes.
We've actually even enjoyed Ghosts US.
We have. It was very good. Yes.
But now there is a whole plethora of ghosts to enjoy.
Could I just point out the excellent use of the word plethora?
Plethora. Yeah. Thank you.
Now spell it.
No.
IT.
IT, yeah. IT. Okay. We have just finished filming Ghosts France.
Seems to have Marie Antoinette in it.
Yeah, from what we can see.
Okay. There is
There is just gearing up for filming Ghosts Germany.
Blimey.
They are making a fortune.
They are planning Ghosts Spain. And also, nobody's cast at the moment. And they are also in the planning stage of Ghosts Australia.
Wow.
That's amazing. You know, they're going to retire off this, aren't they?
Yeah. Because as kids, they watched Ghosts of Motley Hall and Red's a Ghost.
Yeah.
Now they're millionaires.
No, so Ghosts US is doing quite well and has just finished its fourth season.
Loving Ghosts US. I really am.
Ghosts UK has wrapped up with only three seasons. And
no, it's five, isn't it?
Five seasons.
Oh, I'm sorry, totally sorry. I'm not sure if we'll be catching the German, French and Spanish versions, but I look forward to at least having a dip into Ghosts Australia as well.
Yes.
Apparently, talk has been bandied around of a Ghost UK and Ghost US crossover.
I have seen this rumour, yes.
Ooh, how does that happen when they can't leave their relative houses?
I suppose, well, there has been...
Zoom?
There has been a semi-crossover with Ghosts UK and Ghosts US. Not a character. But the Livings could turn up.
Yeah, it's
a possibility. Yeah.
I don't think it'd be quite as much fun if the ghosts don't meet up.
Yeah. Maybe some weird seance-type thing can drag them across the world.
Or there was that episode where Thor and Flower got caught in the ghost trap.
Right, okay.
So perhaps they can all go in a ghost trap and come over to the UK.
Stranger things have happened.
That horse becoming Pope.
Is that Dobbin?
Dobbin. Dobbin the First.
Any more addendums?
Nope. We are
addendum
now.
And that's the end of the news.
Woohoo!
Right, we've been to the theatre.
Theatre.
We went out to London.
All the way up.
Oh, yes. To Chelsea.
Took us a good hour. And we watched Paul McGann, India Fisher and a whole plethora of cast.
Say that word again.
Performing Big Finish's The Stuff of Legend live. Pause for music. Did I ever tell you that Charlie is my girl crush? I might have mentioned it.
Not just you, apparently.
Touched upon it. That's something I'd like to point out, but we'll get to that.
Yes.
But,
yeah. While you have been sort of lucky enough to go and see the live version, I was listening to the studio version.
The studio version, yes.
Apparently, they are going to be releasing the recorded version, the live version, at some future date.
Well, yes, because we are now all Big Finish actors.
Yes.
Actors. Yes, because towards the end of the live showing or the live recording, they required us all to act as robo-men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Drowning.
Drowning robo-men. Yeah.
So there's a theatre full of several hundred people all going...
No, stop.
We were awesome.
Yep.
I gave good robo-man.
Yep.
The Academy Awards are beckoning.
I am writing that on my CV.
Oh, definitely. Drowning robo-man, number 418.
419.
And 50. Right, basically, so what's the plot? You've got the Doctor and Charlie.
Well, the Doctor and Charlie are once again not lost, but accidentally on holiday.
That's brilliant.
I got a good laugh.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
that's from Withnail.
Yeah, that's a line from Withnail.
Yeah.
In the wilds of Cornwall.
In the wilds of Cornwall, yes. They do an emergency landing there. Find a played out tin mine, and then go down to
Merrymaid's Bay.
We'll get there in a minute.
Yep.
Where they find a hostelry, an inn.
Now, Fate Crumbly came out with a rather pertinent point.
Yes.
Yeah, she said that scene reminded her of 73 Yards.
Oh, with Ruby going into the strangers round here.
But I think the publican in the Stuff of Legends was a bit more amenable and welcoming.
The whole thing is all about legend, which again goes back to
73 Yards. People have been going missing.
Yes, indeed.
Lots of people.
So, of course, the Doctor and Charlie are going to find out what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And we also have, she's not a professor yet.
No.
M. Is it Emily?
Emily.
Emily's barnfather.
Yeah. Barnfather.
Known as M to her friends.
Mm. There are quite a few names in here which have been taken from different places. So Barnfather, presumably a reference to Keith Barnfather.
Well, you think.
Yeah.
And then you got Foley.
Yes.
Foley, yes.
Which obviously is a gag on the guy doing the Foley in this production.
He was very good.
Yeah.
But Emily has a major crush on Charlie. It's quite funny.
I've compared them because I've actually listened to the CD on the way to work.
Likewise.
Yeah. To my mind, the crush didn't come over as much on the studio version.
Well, on the CD, obviously, you can't, because we were three rows in the front.
Yeah.
And the actress was playing it up.
This is what I mean. I'm not sure if that's how it was originally written. And since hand, she's decided to lean into it.
Apparently, they had 2 days worth of rehearsals.
Yeah.
live version.
Yeah, rehearsals.
Yeah.
As I said,
Perhaps it's something they came up with.
Something they've decided to ad lib and lean into, but that didn't come across as much on the CD.
But no, we had beaming and batting of eyebrows.
Gosh.
And the toe thing, the sort of moving in one toe.
We have limited, because they're standing there reading the scripts on stage, so we have a limited amount of acting.
Yeah.
As though they hand things to nothing or duck down or...
I was really amazed by how much acting there actually was. I'm assuming they're much like that in their little booths when they're in the studio, is that to get yourself into it, you've got to pretend you're doing these things.
Yeah.
There was lots of running on the spot.
Well, the only way to sound exhausted is to run on the spot.
What else? There was also a lot of hammering coming from a supposedly disused tin mine.
Yes. Supposedly emptied and played out tin mine.
Shenanigans was afoot, so they had to go and check it out.
Of course.
And we've got the Daleks.
Yes.
We've got weird-ass ghostly mermaids.
Yeah, the Buckeye.
The Bucker.
Is that Bucker. A chicken impersonation?
And, of course...
The Master.
The
yes.
Master, yes. Once again, played by Alex
McQueen.
Wonderfully played by Alex McQueen.
The bit where he rips off his rubber mask to reveal the Master, watching him live on stage is just the funniest thing.
Because
he grabbed one of his own ears over his own head. And then you've got the Foley operator
with a rubber glove.
The Foley operator, the Foley artist, was Gabriel Clark, who was... just so funny.
Oh,
he also played various other parts like Robomen, Daleks, blah, blah, blah. And it was when the Doctor and Charlie were going to head off, and Charlie says, "Oh, we're going to get wet." And the Doctor says, "No, I have an umbrella." And you've never. Gabriel trying to put up an umbrella and.
There's a funny bit with the biscuit tin.
Oh, yes.
TARDIS
biscuit tin.
Handing biscuits to the Master over the top of the screen.
Yeah.
I think compared to the studio version, you had the advantage on me because you could actually see the performers acting on stage.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Adopting the characters' mannerisms.
Yeah. Just having fun with it.
Yeah. Acting in situ. So
Paul McGann came in costume.
Yeah.
He did. Right. It is
much funnier on stage.
Yeah. Oh, very much. You know,
they're dealing with a live audience. So no matter what you try to do, the actors are playing up to the live.
Yeah,
because they're actors.
At the beginning, Barnaby Edwards, who was directing it, came on and was also acting in it, came on and told us, "Look, if you want to laugh, laugh. Just be an audience." Because I think some of us were a bit worried that we were meant to keep really, really quiet.
No,
it was impossible because there was just so many funny things in it.
It was written with it in mind that it would be staged.
Oh, really?
In a theatre. So they knew that when they wrote it. And you can tell.
That was back in 2023 when it was written, apparently.
We had Emily's younger version. There was also an older version.
Yes.
And slap on the wrist for Den of Geek, who said they'd reviewed the live show, but they thought that Annette Badlands did a wonderful job. She wasn't even in it.
She's in the CD.
She's in the CD, but she was played by
Carolyn Seymour. The famous Carolyn Seymour from Next Generation, Survivors.
Yeah.
Who looks nothing like Annette Badlands. So slapsies on the wrists there.
Yeah. Failure to do their research there.
Yeah. Going to review something live, you at least go to the...
They probably did, but maybe they didn't realise they changed actors. I don't know.
Could they not see her? You know, she was on the stage.
Well... Yeah.
I could see her.
They didn't know who either of them were.
She's in the programme. Google is your friend, friend.
Yeah, I didn't realise when we were watching it that they had recast.
No, neither did I.
I didn't know. I hadn't heard the original CD.
It was only until I actually read out the review to you.
Yeah.
That I realised, Annette Badlands was in this. Where was she? And then I went and looked at the CD.
As well as being really entertaining, I've got to go and see more of this sort of thing.
Yes.
They had a wonderful backdrop. You had the TARDIS, obviously.
You
had a Dalek.
Yes.
Yep. You had a console. Yep. And you had the round things.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
It was the wrong console and the wrong round things, if I want to be picky, but I don't.
Yeah, they were.
It's funny, you were picky on the day, and so were you.
It's the fourth Doctor's console.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they did make a thing in the play about saying how it looked like it had been built by Eiffel and Jules Verne.
It was meant to be the eighth Doctor's
it's
TARDIS.
It's clearly his original TARDIS.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, now, back to the plot. Now, I've heard of piskies and I've heard of knockers,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I've never heard of Bucker.
Yeah, I it's in one of the folklore tale books that I've got at home. I have heard of the Bucker.
Okay.
They are
I'm sure it's a real thing in inverted commas.
Yeah, an actual legend. Unlike being an alien life form, it is actually the manifestation of the spirit of the planet, which is manifested or shown as the ley lines.
Bucker is a male sea spirit in Cornish folklore, a merman that inhabited mines and coastal communities as a hobgoblin during storms.
Ooh.
So I tell you, if last night's storms reached Cornwall, there were a fair few buckers around.
And
you imagine a small child walking with his mum along the Cornish coast. They've just gone out for a walk and the storm's passed and he spots one. And he goes, "Mum, look at that bucker over there." And she mishears him and just slaps him around the head and takes him home with no teeth.
I'm sure there were many titters about the word knockers.
And this bucker is an energy force, which, of course, attracts the Daleks and the Master separately. They're not united in this. They're getting in each other's way.
Well, pretty much.
This is one of those times when the TARDIS took him somewhere where he needed to be.
When it first lands, the TARDIS is being affected by something, by a whole range of zeros and ones. And one of my favourite moments is Charlie. I was like, well, what did you do? Well, I deactivated the Zeus plugs, turned off the limited ratio stabiliser, and reset the coordinates.
So you turned it off and on again?
That's pretty much it.
It was so good to see Paul McGann and India Fisher again.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen them since before the pandemic, when we were at that little convention up in London.
Panopticonet. When Bagpuss goes to sleep.
Oh, excuse me.
But yeah, it was great fun. And of course, again, live performance. You've got cheers when M walked into the TARDIS and said it's bigger on the inside.
And I trust Paul McGann wasn't doing his usual trick of throwing peanuts and popcorn into the audience.
No, this was professional McGann.
Acting.
Yes. He was an actor. When it finally finished, they got a standing ovation.
And then Barnaby Edwards came on and said, "And now for an encore, Zagreus."
And I really hope that this is not going to be a one-off, that they do others.
I'd love them
with other doctors.
Because it was so popular, there were two showings that day. Oh, by the way, hi, Stuart, who sat next to me, who I met. Nice to talk to you. He'd come down from up north, and he was seeing both showings. And they'd had to extend it to the next day as well.
If I'm not mistaken, it was only meant to be the one showing when it was initially.
I think it started off as one. Then went to an evening as well.
Then
an extra
weekend.
Day.
Yeah.
I think they didn't quite sell out of the final performance. They were giving them away for about £6 if you weren't on the right ticket site. Which is a shame. If I'd known that, I would have gone again. I didn't know at the time.
I hope it was successful.
I think they'll do it again. Please do it again. We loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we should say it was to celebrate 25 years of Big Finish.
Yes.
Which in itself is amazing.
Yeah.
And obviously McGann is perhaps their biggest contribution to Doctor Who Can, because he just had the one story back then.
Yeah. One and a bit story.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Paul McGann is a lovely, lovely man. He really is. And I'm only aware of two times when he's publicly been a little irked. One was when the Daily Mail was having a go at Sheridan Smith.
He
used really bad words. It was fantastic. And the other was when he was trying to go somewhere and he'd been cornered by a reporter and she'd clearly just been sent down there with no information. I think it was the 50th anniversary or something. And she'd asked him some really stupid questions, and you could see it was annoying him. And then as he's turning to leave, she said, they do an audio range. Do you think your doctor will be in those? And he just turned and looked at her and said, I've been in 140 of them, and walked away. Yeah.
Subtle.
Oh, God.
Yes. As we were saying earlier, do your research.
Yeah. That's second-hand embarrassment.
God. I have memories of Chicago TARDIS, where you and Jean are staring longingly at him.
Well, yes. No disrespect, but he was sitting against the window, so he had a halo
of sunlight around him. Yeah.
That's one where we got into the lift and he jumped in with us. He'd been out running that morning.
He was very sweaty.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very sweaty.
Very smelly.
I am sitting right here.
I know. You get sweaty too. You're right, Crumbly.
Fine.
May I stroke your head again?
Yeah, go on then, if you should.
The CD itself is, I think, serviceable. It's a good story.
It's very good. It's not quite the same as being there.
No, it's nothing special. It's not a fantastic story. It's a good story. I'm not trying to do it down. But I hope that either, one, they release the footage, because they have had various cameras.
There were cameras. Uh-huh. Dotted
around the place. I do hope that they do a live recording version.
I'm thinking they must be going to, because one of the cameras was directly facing the audience from the back of the stage, from high up at the back of the stage. Yeah. So, and then there were at least two from either side. Yeah. So there must be something planned.
Yeah. They're my rights issues. They've got the rights to do audios.
Mm.
This is a reading, so maybe they get away with it. They wouldn't be allowed to do a full-on production.
No,
this isn't.
If they did a full-on production, it would ruin all Gabriel's Foley work. And there was a lovely bit where Charlie goes inside a Dalek. India Fisher suddenly just put her script down and dotted round behind where Nicholas Briggs and Gabriel were.
Yeah.
Then you've got the three of them all dicking around on the Dalek, a Dalek modulator.
Well, that's another thing. I love the scene. What is it? The Dalek screaming, check your orders. You're not meant to be here. And to which Charlie replies, as a Dalek, no, you check your orders.
She wasn't a very good Dalek.
No, it was very funny.
Oh, what other lines were there? Oh, bucker, my old mucker.
But we did have fun.
Yeah,
definitely.
So thank you to Big Finish for putting that on, because it was wonderful.
Yes.
If any of our listeners were there or went to any of the other showings, we'd love to know what you thought about it. So write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Charlie. It's been an eventful time for us. After going to the theatre, we then got out our unlimited cards and went to the cinema to see Beetlejuice. Pause for music.
Sequel to the original Beetlejuice.
Somewhat 36 years later.
Set during the present day, so yes. I think, a distance of about 30 years.
36. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
I'd like to point out that they are but babies, though. ABBA went 40 years before coming up with the next bit of work.
Well, this is the thing. This has been in the planning stage or been put together for quite some time.
Oh, yes.
Because Winona Ryder, when she signed on for Stranger Things, which was
quite a while ago now.
It meant to be a 5-season contract.
Yeah.
Because it's always meant to have been 5 season. She said, you have to write in the contract for me to be written out in case Beetlejuice sequel is filmed.
Right.
So that was written into her contract for Stranger Things.
So cool that she put that ahead.
Put that.
Well, you'd have no idea that Stranger Things would be anything, really.
This is very true,
Fortunately, it hasn't affected...
Given the huge gaps between the seasons.
Given the huge gaps between season 4 and season 5, it didn't affect her work on either.
She's probably filmed 5 films in the time of last season.
Okay, so, as we said, this is decades after Beetlejuice introduced. Yes. Lydia is a middle-aged woman now. Her daughter, played by Jenna Ortega, is at that snotty 16-year-old stage. Yep. Her stepmother, Delia, is still around. Yep. Her stepfather, Charles, has died.
Recently.
Right at the beginning of the film, pretty much.
And they're still living in the same wonderfully spooky house. Now, the Maitlands, who were played by Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin, have apparently moved on.
They have found, they found a loophole in the book.
And moved on to their next life or paradise or whatever or comes next.
Be stuck in the courts for a few years.
Wherever you go.
Well, as we mentioned last time, one of the possibly dodgy points of this is Geoffrey Jones.
Yes.
Who, just Google what he did.
Yeah.
I personally think his image shouldn't have been in this at all. They had like stop motion or whatever, claymation
to begin with.
Of him going down in a plane crash and getting eaten by a shark. But then you've got his, you face. See his picture that Delia was looking at, and then you've got his face engraved on his gravestone. Yeah. Although that was in the shape of shark fin, so that was quite funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I see either go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Either just write him out of it. Or just say, no, we don't care and have him in it.
However, I agree with you totally. But I do like how they got around his ghost because he was eaten by a shark. So the top half of his body, his head, has been bitten off.
Yeah.
And you get this torso running around with blood sort of occasionally squirting out of it.
In this respect, I mean, it's Beetlejuice, you know, like its predecessor. In the fact that those people who are in the interim afterlife, they look how they died.
Yes. Because you have another person who was eaten by a shark.
Mm. All right.
He was a surfer dude.
Oh, yeah.
But he has no bottom half.
Oh, right.
So, again, you do get the waiting room, and they're both, at one point, they're both sitting in the waiting room on the sofas.
It's quite a fishy theme to it, because the father of General Ortega's character,
he
was killed by piranhas, by
the way. Piranhas in the Amazon. He disappeared in the Amazon. We don't know what happened to him, but the latter half of the film, see his ghosts with little fishies attached to it.
We should every probably now and have again. Said, spoiler music, tra-la-la-la-la.
Yes, probably.
I do like the fact that Lydia is now the host of Most Haunted, basically.
It is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, because she has always been able to see ghosts, that was established in the first film, she's now doing Most Haunted.
She's Yvette Fielding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's seeing ghosts and exploring ghost hunting for TV.
Unfortunately, she doesn't see many ghosts in her day-to-day life anymore, apparently.
No.
Now the Maitlands are gone. You'd think she'd be out on the road doing genuine things, talking to real ghosts.
You'd think it'd be more like Ghost Whisperer or Alison in Ghosts. Yes. You could see ghosts everywhere. But perhaps she only assigned a couple of ghosts to you.
It could be the fact that they don't know that she can see them, so they've been hiding.
Might be.
Yeah.
Although we do come across a ghost, and I'm feeling quite smug, because as soon as we saw this person, I said, ooh, he's a ghost. And I was right.
The daughter has inherited her mother's abilities in seeing ghosts.
But she doesn't know it. She doesn't know it. She doesn't believe in any of it. She thinks her mother's a fraud.
Because her mother has never been able to produce a ghost of her father, who's actually working down on the other side. He stamps cards and whatever.
In the first film, you had like a guy with a shrunken head.
Yes. Seen in the waiting room.
We've discovered his name's Bob.
Yes.
Bob. And he's got a job now.
Yeah.
As have all the other dudes with shrunken heads.
Yeah.
And Bob is just, Bob is wonderful.
Imagine the ghost of Beaker. It's the only
one. That's what Bob is.
Yeah.
But of course, all this wonderful stuff is all completely overshadowed by Michael Keaton, who is on form.
Again, no disrespect, but again, he doesn't necessarily appear until, 20 minutes in? You're quite a way into the film before he actually properly joins in on the action.
Yeah, yes, you've got little clues that he's there.
When he does, he dominates.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite as zany as he was in the first one.
He's a lot older.
He's only 30 years older, which is nothing compared to the 400-500 years he already was. But, I feel like he's much more presented as an out-and-out villain.
Yes.
The first one he was, but it's almost like he was a comedy villain.
You kind of loved him too much.
He was an anti-hero, but here
he is a genuine threat.
Yeah.
But we also find out his backstory.
Yes.
What he was doing. The line from the first film, I lived through the Black Death and had a wonderful time in that. You actually saw.
Yeah.
And he did.
Then there's his first wife.
Oh, yeah.
Who pieces herself together.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning
you
of the film.
You find out how Beetlejuice dies and how his wife dies. And she has issues with him.
Yeah. The film itself, generally, I would say, is slightly more gorier and blood spattered than the first one.
Ooh. Yes.
I think it is. Definitely. Yeah.
They've upped the...
Yeah, because the boys, our boys were quite young when they saw it, and it wasn't,
it didn't faze them at all.
Mm. But this one, I wouldn't have let them watch this until they were older.
It's a little bit more gooey, and I can't remember her name, but the wife of Beetlejuice manages to kill other ghosts. She can suck out their energy, and all you're left is with this condensed bag, which is quite actually sort of gory.
Not very nice at all, was it?
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't come over as a pleasant thing.
No.
We've got a lovely cameo with Danny DeVito.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I did think, was that him? But it definitely was.
Because, he wasn't credited at the beginning, was he?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I quite like the fact that it's quite a different film. The first film is about the Maitlands getting used to
being
dead.
Yeah.
But here, apart from Geoffrey Jones' character, none of the main cast die. It's mostly them going to the other side, trying to find the father. It's a different sort of film.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice himself is being hunted as well, which has an extra...
Yeah, it's not... A retread of the first film.
No, it is a new story,
which for sequels can be pretty rare.
Yeah,
it was good to see that Delia's sculpture had a place.
Yeah. It's been donated to the school, so she doesn't have to look at it anymore.
But yeah, completely different beast to the first film in many respects. Lots of shoutbacks to the first film, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still really, really enjoyed it. I'd happily watch this one again.
One of my favourite points is what was established in the first film with the Deo track.
Redone
in the church with Winona Ryder and Jenna Ortega.
To MacArthur Park.
Yeah.
Someone left the cake out in the rain.
being semi-possessed, doing the actions for Cake Out in the Rain.
Because Beetlejuice tries to marry Lydia again.
Again.
Yeah. he's only concentrating on her this time.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was any woman he was pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is quite just as well. Don't really want him going after General Taker's character.
I mean, it was weird enough when it was... Because Winona Ryder was like 15.
16.
Yeah, she's 16. Yeah. She was actually a lot younger than General Taker was.
Yeah, because General Taker, she's in her 20s.
She's 21.
Dear.
Yeah, very good film.
Yes.
A worthy sequel after all these years.
Yeah. Yeah, it took its time, but yeah, it's there.
And it's kept the same look and feel.
It's
Danny Elfman's the music again.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Obviously Tim Burton, so yeah.
You can say it's a Tim Burton film because it has that look.
I'm guessing, though, they can't do a third because...
Who'd manifest?
You can't just say the title.
It's a watch Community.
Exactly.
Given it's done really, really well, I'd be very shocked if there isn't a sequel quite quickly.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's grossed about $330 million worldwide out of a $100 million budget.
Blimey.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's made its money. Yeah.
That's just cinema. Before you take into account sales of
DVDs, Netflix, streaming.
Yeah. Premium video on demand, all that stuff, yeah. So it's more than made its money back.
Because we hadn't watched Beetlejuice for years.
Oh, same.
And so we sat down and watched it for the last podcast, and it's just, it's still just wonderful. Okay, right. Well, we would like to know what you chaps, chapesses, etc. thought of Beetlejuice. Write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Oh, speaking of threatening presences,
Ooh.
We didn't say hello to him last time.
Last time we didn't. Did he bitch about it much during the week?
Constantly.
Oh. Is that why you've put that gag on him?
Partly the reason, yeah. It's gone rabid. So.
Well, that was expected.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee.
Hello, Inky McSquirtsalot.
Handles. Dangerous Church or Nazi
Ashes
Spock.
Ashes of Grunhild and Rob Macca.
Hello, Shoved in a Corner Moomin.
Don't forget.
Terrence. Hey, Dave Zilla the Mighty.
The Orange Glow of Clara.
And folded up and propped against a radiator, Clara. We've got one more little segment for you because we love you.
So much. So very much.
So much. This time, it's Doctor Who. The Curse of Fatal Death. Pause for music.
Well...
This was, when was this?
1847.
Almost.
Quite some time ago.
It was during the hiatus.
It's 1999.
Perhaps the first televised bit of Doctor Who that Moffat ever wrote.
Well, it would have been, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a comedy sketch, basically, for comic relief back in 1999. How long is it? It's
about 20 minutes.
23 minutes, about that.
Was this one the most regenerations in one story?
Probably.
I think so, yes.
Although time of the Doctor must get close.
So tell us, what was the plot and who was the Doctor?
The Doctor, I think it was the Ninth Doctor.
It was the Ninth Doctor, yes.
Rowan Atkinson.
Yay.
He did actually say he's Ninth Doctor.
Has decided to finally settle down and marry his companion.
His plucky assistant.
Mm. Do you see a theme there? Not River Song, but no. Emma, if I remember rightly.
The first companion he's ever had.
Yes. Yeah.
With a knowing wink.
Well, I'm not sure if he was getting blessing or just informing his oldest friend. The Master.
Well, the Master, initially, when he starts out, the Master is spying on the Doctor.
Yeah.
Talking to himself and getting to turn off the audio so the Doctor could hear.
And it was actually, it was the first Doctor's console. It was a fan console for a production that was going on at the time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so which they borrowed, begged, or cooperated.
Very dodgy time rotor.
Yeah, it was going
shooting off in all directions.
Yeah. But it was a fan console room.
Oh, okay.
Fan-built console.
So who was the Master?
Jonathan Pryce.
Yes.
Awesome.
Chewing the scenery, Jonathan Pryce. Yeah.
You know Graham Cranston in Horns of Nymon?
Yes.
It made him look like he was performing Shakespeare.
Yeah, we thought Alex McQueen's Master in Stuff Legends.
A little
chewing
bit
the scenery. Nothing is compared to Jonathan Pryce.
Well, this is it. On YouTube, they've got a couple of making of and behind the scene interviews. And while you've got Moffat talking directly to the screen, being serious,
in the interview, you've
got the Master popping up behind him, swapping sides, manipulating his buttocks, apparently. So he is loving.
And who played the plucky girl assistant, Emma?
Julia Sawala.
Mm, blimey.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently she was invited to audition for a companion role, and she didn't want to.
She didn't want to. At that point in time, I think it wouldn't have been successful for her career.
No, because she was about to add Fabbit up.
She was about to add Fabbit, yeah. So it either must have been Ace or Bonnie, one or the other.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yes, the Master and the Doctor involve in a game of temple traps.
Yes.
The sofa of ultimate comfort.
Moderate, whatever it was called, yes. Yeah.
Where they go back in time, keep going back earlier in time, setting traps and deactivating said traps.
Bribing the architect.
Bribing the architect as well.
And then, of course, dun-dun-dun, the Dalek. Appear.
Gosh.
The Master gets tricked into falling down
into the sewers,
which apparently are huge mountains of excrement. I don't quite know why it doesn't rot away or whatever, but apparently not.
No, it says...
And the occasional sewer slug.
Yes.
So the Master gets out of there, takes him 300 years, gets back into his TARDIS, then comes back in time. And at one point, there must be three Masters down there.
Yeah, because he keeps falling down.
Within minutes. So it's not like there's huge time gaps between him. Three of them down.
Yeah, and each time we see him, he's 300 years progressively older.
Yes.
Yeah. With longer and greyer hair.
Zimmer frame.
Yep. Until finally the Daleks rejuvenate and rebuild him, complete with etheric beam locators.
Yep. Yes.
Dalek bumps.
Dalek bumps.
On his chest.
Yes.
Not the most sophisticated humour.
It was sort of Rowan Atkinson comic relief. Lowest common denominator. It's going for fun rather than...
How many regenerations did the Doctor... We had... Rowan Atkinson's number nine. Then we had Jim Broadbent.
Richard E. Grant is ten.
Yep.
Jim Broadbent is 11.
Yep. Hugh Grant is 12.
Yep.
And then Joanna Lumley is 13. Well, they got that, that right. They guessed that the 13th Doctor would be a woman.
Yep. Well, at that point, at that point in time, it was established and set that the Time Lords only have 12 regenerations. But of course, we suddenly have this splurge into the 13th. And
yeah, it should always be 13 Doctors because 12 regenerations.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he, as we was at the point, was killed by something which meant he couldn't regenerate.
Yeah.
But then the universe wouldn't let the Doctor die.
No. The Daleks teamed up and to help save him.
Actually, some really quite nice lines in there about how the universe won't allow the Doctor to die.
And,
There was the line as he was dying, it won't be safe to be frightened again.
Yeah.
Which was another one.
Sweet.
And never cruel, never cowardly.
Appearance. That has been a fan rhetoric, but it made it first its appearance before actually appearing in the show.
Yeah. In fact, there's quite a few Moffatisms which turn up here first time.
Yeah.
And of course, I'll explain later. The ongoing gag.
Yes.
Yes.
It's fun. It's silly.
It was comedy. It's all it was meant to be.
It's a bit of fluff. Don't think too deeply into it.
Yes,
of course, I suppose his next one was, you'd have had Time Crash, and then you'd have had Amy flirting with herself and...
Oh, in terms of comedy ones?
Yeah.
Mm. The comic relief ones, yeah.
Yeah, or Children Need. Yeah, I suppose so.
Gives him a chance to have
fun. Time Crash would have been his next one, yeah.
And every time the Master reappeared, his descriptions of the sewers became more and more florid.
Yeah. Graphic.
Yes.
And those occasional sewer snails for the cold winter
nights.
Look after the universe for me. I put a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
Another Moffatism, which comes back in the 11th hour. I think Capaldi does similar.
Yes, does something.
I take it you can find this on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. The actual Red Nose Day channel. Cool.
I think it was also on one of the DVDs somewhere, I think. Whether it's a comic relief one or...
It was certainly released on VHS at the time, which is very weird.
Yeah.
For effectively a 23-minute sketch.
Yeah.
It came to the making of, which I think is what you can now find on YouTube.
Yeah.
So jump yourself on YouTube and have a look for it. Yeah. Doctor Who, Curse of Fatal Death.
Yeah, and got to remember, back at this time, Doctor Who was still quite the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of comedy skits about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And it will be pretty cruel, or, you know. Mm-hmm. They,
yeah.
Yeah.
But this actually had proper heart to it, although it was taking the mickey out of some of the tropes. No.
Yeah. It was taking mickey out of the tropes. It wasn't necessarily taking mickey out of the show itself.
Or the character. He had the shy Doctor, he had the lick the mirror handsome Doctor.
Right? Yeah. Lick the screen handsome.
But actually, the Doctor at the end of it is pretty much like Rowan Atkinson's Doctor, he's just the Doctor.
Yeah.
He's not a comedy Doctor at all.
He's not, the character is not played for laughs.
No,
I'd forgotten about surprising. Lick the screen handsome. Yeah. He was at his most bouffanty.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, because that was the Richard E. Grant one.
It was, yeah. He's gone to play the Doctor three times now.
Do you remember the Doctor Who Live thing that we went to?
Oh, yeah, with, what's the name, from the young ones?
No. The
Which one?
Adventure one. Escape room style thing. In London?
No.
With the actors and the Daleks. And we were
in that really weird one.
Yeah.
The unit thing.
Yeah,
yes.
The unit thing.
Yes,
well,
yes.
You had multiple actors pretending to be a Doctor. But one of them, I noticed, turned up in the Curse of Fatal Death costume.
Oh,
the
really?
Waistcoat,
yeah, yeah.
The frock.
Yeah.
Noticed.
It's not a bad costume, too.
Yeah.
And they all had to wear it.
They all had to wear it, yeah. Though I think...
In a just occasion.
Yeah, I think Joanna Lumley was sort of more squeezed into the waistcoat.
Yeah. She somehow found a Wonder Bra somewhere. Yeah.
Children. Okay, watch Curse of Fatal Death. Tell us what you thought about it. Write to us via show. At...
Staggering.
Stories.
Dot.
Net.
Why did you jump in and take Adam's at... Right, we have feedback.
Oh,
woo! We have. Thank you.
We have heard.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Oh, so much thanks.
Shush now. Pain will come.
Ooh. Promises, promises.
Right, we have heard from Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Richard.
Richard says, Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Head of Pertwee, and all his assorted friends and relations. I've been a Big Finish fan for a few years now. Mm. I missed a lot of the early releases, but joined in the fun round about the time when they signed up John Hurt for the War Doctor sets, which hooked me in enough to buy. Yeah. According to the Temperamental app, 225 further stories since then, which I know in Big Finish fan terms is a mere drop in the ocean.
Indeed.
I particularly enjoy their Eighth Doctor stuff, mainly with the Liv and Helen box sets.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And hearing that a live event with McGann was happening, I booked my ticket as soon as the link opened back in July. Despite my introverted nature and the knowledge I'd probably be going by myself, this year I'm trying to put myself out there more after a couple of close bereavements over the last 18 months have knocked my mental health down significantly. I'm writing this the day after The Stuff of Legend, and I have to say I had the best time.
Excellent. Yes.
Despite being a solo visitor, I instantly got talking to a couple of people sitting around me, and we shared favourite stories and moments from both TV and Big Finish Who with each other. The show itself was amazing. Yep. McGann in costume gave it his all, and I was immediately smitten, like Emily, with Charlie, a character I'd not heard much of in the past.
Yeah.
The knowing laughter from the 1,000 fans in the room added to the fun of the whole event, and I loved the live Foley effects being created on my side of the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, we were sitting on the other side.
Yeah, yes.
I really hope these events become an annual thing for Big Finish. As ever, the wider fan community are, on the whole, utterly lovely people, and something like this that brings people together and showcases and celebrates the creativity that goes into wider universe who cannot be a bad thing in a world where joy is a much needed commodity.
Yeah.
Still love the podcast as much as ever, by the way. This is my first email since about episode 40.
Blimey.
And I haven't missed a show since.
Thank you.
Best wishes to you all. Keep staggering on, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
On behalf of Staggering Stories, Richard, we would like to say we're sorry. We're so, so sorry.
I wish we'd known you're there, mate.
Yeah. We were at the same show screen.
We were in
performance
row C, right at the other end.
CCC.
Sorry?
We're in row CCC.
Is this, sorry, is he making a joke?
No, that's the row we was on. We was on
I
row.
I thought it was just C.
No, it's three C's.
C's further back. We're in front of A.
I'm confused now for no reason whatsoever other than
this
Canton you.
Hall, however you pronounce it, is very weird. You've got row A, in front of row A, you've got three other rows.
Yeah.
Got okay. AAA, BBB, CCC.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a song about CCC.
A sailor went to CCC to see what he could CCC.
All that he could
CCC.
CCC. They sang that on EastEnders once.
No!
Oh, EastEnders.
No, did you stop it? No.
Okay,
just no.
I told you afterwards.
Just no.
We've stopped.
No.
Any more feedback?
That's it for feedback.
Okay, well, lead us out crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. But never fear, in the next one there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more cool than new. So until that...
C for Charlie. Completely contractually combobulated...
Constipated.
Clutch of clangers.
Chlamydia.
What? Comes casually...
Cascading.
Towards us.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 455, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers, don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended. This has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Hello, good evening, and...
Hello, good evening, and... Welcome. Jean has floated away, so please give generously. Postage will be, of course, refunded.
Dead or alive. Harsh?
Tad. But fair.
What should we do first? Let's do the thing we went and watched.
Okay.
I forgot what it's called.
It's the Stuff of Legends.
Thank you. Whole plethora of cast.
Is that a word again?
Performing. I've forgotten what it's called again.
The Stuff of Legends.
Such and such. Turn the lights off.
Okay. Alexa, why did you whisper? I thought what you were whispering to. We're being invaded by snails again.
The phrase ghost in the machine comes to mind.
Oh, yes. We had two snails in the sink this morning. One of them on the windowsill this afternoon.
Oh, did you?
I finally gave up and picked him up and moved him out to the front because I figured the reason they're coming in is because they're trying to get to the front garden. So he's in the front garden.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't have minded, but I was half asleep this morning, reached out to turn the tap on, and he's wrapped around the handle of the tap.
What's that?
A fate involving snails. Dear Lord, who made the birds, the bees,
and the snails.
I've never had snail. I wouldn't mind trying them, actually.
They taste like chicken.
A bit chewy.
They're not chewy if they're cooked properly. Do you think they kill them first, or do you think they do what they do with lobsters and just, oh no, that would be horrible.
Have a whole tank of them. I'll have that one.
Yeah, and that one. Because our snails are lovely and I couldn't possibly do anything to hurt them. Oh God, what if one day we're boiling potatoes and they crawl in? Then we've got a bit of extra protein. Little antenna going, it's hot. I'm standing on a potato, but it's gradually crumbling because it's boiled. I'm sorry.
There's huge squelching mountains.
Double check the spam folder.
Spam, 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 spam,
spam, spam, spam,
spam, spam, wonderful spam,
spam, spam, spam,
lovely spam, wonderful spam,
spam, spam, spam,
lovely spam, wholesome spam.
Why are you singing?
Sorry.
Why?
Is that what that was?
I thought he was in pain. Where did that come from?
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Oh, blimey, Gov.
Never seen Mary Poppins.
I'm going to make you... This Christmas, we're watching Mary Poppins. And you're not leaving the house until you've watched it and written...
Chromecast. Speaking of Mary Poppins, you've got to see Mary Poppins is the Exorcist.
The Scary Mary?
No, not Scary Mary. This is another one.
Okay.
Mary Poppins...
is the Exorcist.
Oh.
It is hilarious.
We will look that up.
Yes.
Staggeringstories.net.
Hurrah!
There you go.
Turn off your microphones.